You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show, where we bring you the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And one of the very hottest topics in the entire world is airway. And today we're going to be talking to one of the world's experts on airway, on improving airway anatomy through ortho. Awesome thinking. Do not miss this. Do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. Thank you so much for watching. I got a crazy special edition today with my good friend, Dr. Jeff Rouse, and you're going to love this. This is awesome stuff. So a couple things. We are shooting this live. So if you're watching this and you have a couple questions about the hot topic we're going to be discussing, please add it to the feed and I'll ask the master himself while we have him live. And then as you're watching this, if you're watching this later, because we do get these pieces of feedback, people are watching them late at night, continue to add your questions to the feed and I'll have Jeff get back to you directly because we want you to get the most out of these. Now, this episode, I love this. My good friend, Dr. Jeff Rouse. Jeff, you and I have known each other for years, got a chance to meet each other through the Seattle Study Club symposium stuff. You're one of the hottest speakers in the world. And now you're out Spear Education. I know you, but some people might not know you. Can you just tell us a little bit about who Dr. Jeff Rouse is and your story?
Well, thanks for having me on again. This is Absolutely. Fun. I always enjoy being around you. I am a prosthodontist. I have offices in San Antonio and in Seattle. I practice up in Seattle with a couple of guys. Some people know Frank Spear and Greg Kinzer. Been having a good time with them for about a year and a half. The practice here in San Antonio and up there are just straight prost practices. In 2007, I started doing a research project on bruxism, and that led to airway and how it relates to people grinding their teeth. And from that, I started to look around my world and see all the people that it affected, not only my patients, but also my family. So my son, Jake, had a lot of these airway issues, and that really got me interested, because once it involves a family member, then you own it. And from that point on, I've been talking about it and sort of living that direction of how I treat my patients. And so we're bringing that out to Spear Education, and that's the newest, most exciting part of my world.
Yeah, it's awesome, buddy. And I just value not only our friendship. You and I can have fun talking about anything, but I love the way you think. If you haven't seen this guy speak, you got to see him speak. One of the best educators, hands down, in the world. Now, today we're going to be talking about the airway anatomy through ortho. But before we get into the details, tell me why this is such a hot topic, or can you share your thoughts on that?
I mean, what I just said is probably the reason. Everyone that's in the audience is impacted somehow. It may not be them. It may not be that person sitting there. but there's someone. And so when I'm lecturing, every time I lecture, throughout a day, I'll sit and I know when I hit the person and that person in that one's lives. So I'll say young fit females that wake up at 3:10 in the morning and they can't go back to sleep. And immediately you can see around the audience, all the people it affects. I'll talk about kids that are wetting the bed or grinding their teeth or sucking their thumbs beyond what you would anticipate. And I can see parents around the group, kids that are affected with attention deficit. I can see other people, the sort of the fat old man with apnea and all the related symptoms that are associated with that. I can see people reacting and wanting to get off CPAP or hearing from their wives forever that they snored, and they'll clue into it. And for sure, by the end of the day, they've got a list of people that are in their practice that they missed last week that they, you know, like, oh, I forgot, you know, now it makes sense why that's been happening. So the reason it's a hot topic is it absolutely, everyone in the audience is impacted personally by the topic, and they want to know how to take care of people. Because inherently, dentists are just caring. I mean, they want to make people better, and they want, if you say, here's something you've been missing for a while, they want to know more about it. They want to, because they want to help people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on this particular component, we talk about ortho. You and I have talked about this. One of the challenges is, you know, interdisciplinary versus multidisciplinary dentistry, which we'll talk about. But people, when they go to a specialist, they only see it in their world. Can you describe what that means? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I was having this conversation earlier today because every time I got it, my hygienist for years and years and years, the one I was supposed to retire with, ended up having some problems with her hand. So I had to bring in another hygienist. And now we're training this new hygienist, because really the hygienist is who finds most of the people. They have relationships. They have the time to start evaluating the airway and having conversations way more than I do. So I'm training a new hygienist as to what to begin to look for. And when we start thinking about what do you really look for? You're looking for anatomic signs and symptoms that there may be an issue. And those dental signs and symptoms show up way before any of the medical signs and symptoms do. Right. So we were going through and talking about all the different areas that she needs to start looking for. Well, then the obvious question is, okay, so what do we do about it? And that's where we got into the conversation that really, the unfortunate part is there are three groups of people that can have dramatic impacts on people's lives, and they are ENTs, orthodontists, and myofunctional therapists. So ENT can go in, correct the ability that, let's say they can't breathe effectively through their nose, deviated septum, large turbinates, whatever it happens, big adenoids, big tonsils, whatever it is, and they can go in and fix the anatomy. So now they have the opportunity to breathe for the first time. They can also try to make tongues smaller or reposition tongues. They can do things to literally change the anatomy. But what they miss is they're worked within a disease system. You see, the maxilla determines how the septum is sitting in the arch and in the nose. It also just determines the volume of the nasal sinus. So it's really the maxilla that needs to be expanded in order to assist the ENT in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Well, the orthodontist goes in and they say, well, I'm going to do orthodontics and I'm going to get the teeth and the right smile arrangement and all the rest. But they forget the fact that their best orthodontic tool and their best orthodontic retainer is actually the tongue. So if the tongue is tied to the floor of the mouth, can't go up into the maxilla, how many times has a dentist seen a patient that 10 or 15 years down the road has had collapse of the arch and the orthodontics is beginning to fail? Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. And so the orthodontist missed the big picture, which is I can move this, but I can't retain it because why wasn't it out there to begin with? Mm-hmm. And the last part is myofunctional therapist. If a patient happens to have read about it or heard about it, they show up in their office, they get a tongue tie release, and then the myofunctional therapist is trying to train a tongue to fit into a constricted arch. I mean, how do you do that? It's like, you know, like when my wife sees a good sale on a size 8 shoe, but she wears 9. And it's so you can cram your foot all day long and you can kind of get it on, but it's not going to be effective. So there's got to be somebody that can control all the people and is seeing the big picture. And I think that's a great place for a restorative dentist. And it's exactly the same, as you and I were visiting about, it's exactly the same evolution that occurred that Michael Cohen led through Seattle Study Clubs in doing interdisciplinary dentistry. Mm-hmm. At the time, we were doing multidisciplinary dentistry, where we would send a case out and go to the periodontist, and they'd do what a periodontist does, and then they'd send it over to the orthodontist, and they'd do what the orthodontist does. And by the time it finally made it around to the restorative dentist, the restorative dentist goes, "Have you ever thought about having ortho and have an implant put in the right place?" Well, because everything was messed up.
Right.
Finally, the restorative dentist took over the leadership role and said, "I want you to do this and you to do this, and now when it comes back to me, it's correct." Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same thing with airway.
Yeah. It's very cool. And this is a trend we're seeing all the time between interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary. And now we've done this with children forever, but you know, the debate on adults, because you see a child with airway problems, obviously ortho is the best solution, but why is this so complicated with adults?
All right. So we got to back up, because I would agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly that orthodontics is the best solution.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if you go to the American Academy of Pediatrics and look at their guidelines, they never mention the word orthodontics and how to take care of the snoring child. It is so far off the radar of the physicians that they don't even mention it.
Right.
So if you talk to a physician, a pediatrician in particular, and they're following their guidelines, they really only have two courses of action. Three courses of action. One is they'll put them on nasal steroids to try to decrease the volume and maybe make the airway better, which is just basically saying, I hope they grow out of it. Mm-hmm. The second is they get the tonsils and adenoids removed. And we now know by removing tonsils and adenoids, you rarely ever fix a kid for life, because the anatomy is still damaged from the reason that the tonsils and adenoids are so big in the first place. So you take out tonsils and adenoids, you wait 12 or 20 years, both we have good studies on now, and what we find is the disease comes back, because really the anatomic problems and the craniofacial component wasn't addressed. Or they put them on CPAP. And yes, CPAP has its role to play. Just saw a kid yesterday that was a Downs kid that needed a lot of work done, but CPAP is a way to manage them for a while. But absolutely, everywhere you place pressure with a CPAP mask is going to alter their growth and development. So, you know, you already are going to be very mid-face deficient. Now throw a CPAP into the mask and it actually exacerbates that problem. So I would 100% agree that orthodontics is the best, yet it's not recognized as the best yet.
Right.
So to your point, though, yes, we have been expanding kids for years. And the beauty of expanding a child is when you expand a child, the nasopalatine suture can actually break open and you actually are moving bone. And when you move bone, we've shown that the septum will actually straighten up, that the nasal volume will get larger, their ability to breathe through their nose improves. And a lot of these kids, their disease, let's say they have apnea, actually gets better. So we've got that data. What we didn't have is good data on adults. Now, you would go from expanding a kid with a very straightforward procedure to trying to do something similar on an adult. And what you had to do in order to expand a maxilla on an adult is you had to do surgically assisted rapid palatal expansion, or you had to do a Lafort. And the difference between the two is simply in a surgically assisted rapid palatal expansion, you reflect the tissue back, you make the high cuts that you would make for doing a Lafort, but you don't do a down fracture. Lafort, you actually break the maxilla free. So one of them you just expand and it'll eventually reorganize, and the other one you actually free it up and move it where you want it to go. Okay. Nobody wants to go through that. So it's the best, though. If you do that, if you move the maxilla where it's supposed to go, we've got a plethora of data that says that you can start fixing airways. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants to go through it. So I've discussed in my lectures, I show people what I've done for myself, which is I did corticotomy cuts. So we reflect the tissue, We did corticotomy cuts. We added bone on the outside, and we did surgically facilitated orthodontics. So we expanded. Some people call it Wilkodonics. Mm-hmm. By expanding and then learning to put my tongue out of the airway, I made myself better. So it was making room. Well, mine was relatively mild in the needing volume, because you can get some additional volume that way. Mm-hmm. What we've always wanted to be able to do is split open an adult. We've wanted to be able to have that opportunity, and yet every time we tried to push, it wouldn't do it. Some people say you could do it slowly, that you, if you did it slowly enough with the right appliance, that maybe you could get some change, and possibly that's true. But today what we've found, or what we're doing, is we're actually adding two TADs, longer TADs in the palate, and we're putting a jack screw in the palate. Now, instead of pushing off the teeth, you can push off the bone. And somewhere between 60 and 80% of our adult population, you can actually split them open just the way that you did a kid. Mm-hmm. You'll see that big diastema form between the central incisors, and that means you're moving bone. And when you move bone, you change the anatomy in the nasal cavity and the ability to breathe through the nose. Yeah. So that's, I mean, if you think about it, and I know you're not a dentist, but if you think about it, if I've always wanted to do this with adults but always been limited because in order to make that move, I had to send them through this huge procedure that was very costly and no one wanted to do. And now all of a sudden I can say, go into the office, get four of these little TADs in and start cranking away. And it's that easy. Now I got an opportunity to get the teeth where I really wanted to go and still stay in the bone because the bone is moving with it. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, so, and you and I could have had this conversation 2 years ago, because you did try to talk me into surgery, because I am also, and I went the ortho route, and it was very effective for me. But you're right, exactly. You know, the restrictions, I got to talk a lot. A lot of people have to talk a lot. That was a challenge. So this is, it's a true dilemma for adults. Now, you mentioned there's a lot of new research. There's a study. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. You know, so When I first heard about this, a guy named Juan Moon is doing it, and Juan Moon would do it with just these TADs and expanding. Sometimes he uses like a reverse pull headgear as well to try to get some AP change, but he's just putting it in and going. Well, I thought, well, that's amazing, because I kept thinking of all the cases that I've done in the past, like rehabilitations and adding lots of ceramic and stuff to try to give the illusion of a better arch when I could just make the arch bigger. So I kept thinking in terms of how this is going to play into the world of doing rehabilitation dentistry. And then, obviously, as I do all the time, I immediately went, I wonder what it's going to do to the airway. This is going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. So luckily for us, some guys at Stanford have already gotten ahead of us on that, and they went in and did 20 severe apnea patients, which means their apnea level was over 30, and they went in and expanded those patients, and the study will be coming out in a couple of weeks, and they reduced their apnea levels to mild levels just by going in and doing this expansion. So it's amazing the change that's happening for the better, for not only the restorative dentist as far as getting the teeth where we want them to restore, but also to making the patients healthy at the same time. If we can go in and start on an adult, start expanding people and keep limiting it to not having this big surgical intervention and yet fixing the airway at the same time, I mean, it's limitless what we can do now for patients. So exciting.
It's very exciting. So I know we only get you for a limited time, but one of the things that I want to ask you is, let's say I'm a young dentist watching this, Jeff, and I totally get it. Like, I'm 34, I got my practice. What do I do with this information? Like, where would I start? Like, how do I start accumulating this? Because I'm starting to see a regular pattern and it's happening in my practice.
Yeah, you know, and there are two directions, and we've talked before about this. There are really two directions of education right now. The first direction in the world of airway is actually sleep, which is basically studying disease. So there are lots of courses that you can go out and learn about sleep dentistry, what kind of appliances to make and how to put them in the mouth and how to adjust them and titrate them and talk to your patients about it, build a practice around sleep. I think that's a limited view. It's one that you need to do because you're going to get those kind of patients. So every dentist needs to learn that. But I think that's very limiting in its view. I think really the progressive cutting edge dentist is going to be involved in airway management rather than sleep. Sleep is going to be a subset of what we do. And if you're trying to manage airway and really thinking about it, there are unfortunately not very many places to go right now. Mm-hmm. There are little weekend meetings of certain groups, but as far as a curriculum that you can kind of follow, it unfortunately is not available in very many places right now. And luckily for me, I've been given the opportunity to set up a curriculum at Spear Education. So we're doing a two-day seminar in August 18 and 19, and then we're redoing that in December 15 and 16. And then luckily the beauty of that facility is we get to actually do workshops where we get to do hands-on exercises, because the missing piece for me when we talk about trying to manage, are we going to go to the ENT or the orthodontist, the missing piece was a system. Like, how do I know what to do next? Everyone wants to be able to go through and say, okay, I've done this, now it tells me this.
Right.
And so we've done that now. Greg Kinzer and I put together a thing called the Seattle Protocol. It's a six-step system. You just walk your patients through, and when you get to an end point where they say, okay, I'm feeling better, everything's better, and you prove it, then it tells you what to do next. And because we're at Spear, we can actually do all the steps in the workshop. So in October, we're actually doing the workshop out there, and I'm so happy about that, because standing on a stage is hard to convey what you need to do in the real world. Touching stuff makes it real. So,
yeah. And, you know, as people watch this and learn about this, and they know it's a huge problem and it's becoming more and more relevant in the discussion and dialogue in dentistry, I get this question all the time. I don't know how to make money in sleep. I don't know how to monetize this, and where would I even start? And you and I have been talking about this. You have a pretty, you know, you're pretty much an outlier because you have a reputation for this, but can you just give us a little perspective? I mean, you have people flying in because when they want a solution, they're looking for a person that knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah. You know, right now I'm kind of an outlier in the fact that I've been doing it longer than anybody and have sort of developed a few of the things that are the protocols and such. And so, people that read about it, I mean, we have lots of articles that come out with out of Spear Digest. So it's on Facebook and people read those. Other dentists will go on Spear Online and I have videos there that they're watching, and they go, so they'll refer people from their practices. Or people on their own have seen the articles and said, hey, that sounds like me, I'm going to go find him. So I've been lucky enough to have patients that are flying in quite often now to seek that kind of care. Plus, I've put together a team right here. So when they come here, they get to meet the ENT, they get to meet the myofunctional therapist. We've got everyone right in the same location and on board. And I also have that established up in Seattle. Now, with that said, how do you make money at it? Because it's so new and different, people that actually embrace it and put together the team are going to grow their practice like crazy. Mm-hmm. There's a dentist up in outside of DC that she started putting, she saw me in October and just bought into the concept and started putting a lot of stuff on Facebook. Just, here's what I learned, and you know, here's a topic. If you got any questions, you need to come in. Her practice is going crazy with this stuff. I mean, there are people from all over that are asking her questions, coming in, because it does what? Like I said, it impacts every single person that hears a story. If it's not you, it's your niece or nephew or whatever. Somebody is going to be impacted by these stories. And so it gets people in the door. It is limitless, the opportunity you have to convey this information to your patients. And once you help one of them, you're going to get a lot of them that follow suit. So if you do ortho, if you do any of the procedures, if you do myofunctional therapy yourself, you can obviously have a direct relationship. But the other part of it is that, Kurt, think about this. If I expand someone's arch out and I'm putting the teeth where they're supposed to be to breathe, what do I get to do when I finish the ortho? Mm-hmm. I get to do the teeth.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these people have worn teeth and broken teeth because they've had these airway problems for so long. So when we put the teeth where they're supposed to be to breathe, I get to fix their teeth in the end. Mm-hmm. So it's not a direct one-to-one, come to my course and go home Monday and all of a sudden you make money. It's like an annuity that when you learn this new piece of information and new things to look for, that you get to actually do these cases. Oh, I'll give you a better example. I just finished talking to a lady that's going to get a rehab done and ortho and all the rest. And she's been a patient of mine for 15 years and has always said, she said, I only want age-appropriate dentistry. I was like, what in the hell does that mean? Mm-hmm. She said, I don't want you to tell me that I need my smile made prettier. I don't need ortho for my smile. So finally, today we were talking and she had some new symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I said something about ortho and she said, well, I don't want that. I don't need a new smile. And I said, I could care less about your smile.
Right.
What I want you to do is breathe better. And she goes, okay, you got me. So now we're doing ortho and now she's got to have some. Now once the teeth are straightened, some of them are worn. So I get to fix them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I always love, debating this, not necessarily debating, but asking you, where is the future of airway headed in dentistry? Where do you see it headed?
I think, in fact, what we've introduced at Spear, Frank Spear 35 years ago developed facially generated treatment planning. Mm-hmm. 35 years ago. And for 35 years, he's taught it exactly the same way that you do aesthetics, function, structure, biology. You do it in that order, you figure out where the teeth belong, size the ledge, central incisor, and you work your way through. And for the first time in 35 years, he changed the system. And the system now begins with airway.
Wow.
And he says that every case you have to start by evaluating the airway of the patient. And you have to figure out if there's a compromise that could be made better by doing dentistry or some other form of therapy along the way. Because if you're walking through aesthetics, function, structure, biology, and you get to the end and you go, the patient really can't breathe, then you have to redo the treatment plan. Because in the beginning, you would have said, well, how about we do a Lafort? How about we do orthognathic surgery? Well, yeah, that is an option, but no, we could do it a different way. Now you would say, but there's severe sleep apnea. Yes, we would do the Lafort. So you have to figure out the airway first. So the first time in 35 years, the guy changes it up. So ask me where it's going. That's where it's going. Before we do complex dentistry on patients, and I would suggest before we do really any kind of dentistry on patients, we're going to start evaluating airways. And I believe that it's going to be as common as making a blood pressure, that when patients come into your practice, you're going to be screening them and you're going to be sending those suspect patients home with some sort of monitoring tool mm-hmm. so that it becomes a part of the data that you gather.
Yeah, dude, that's powerful. So true. Spot on. Now, if you're a dentist watching this and you don't know where to start, Jeff is an amazing educator. And Jeff's been gracious enough. There's actually a $200 code for the course. Now, this course that you're having in August, that's completely sold out. Or almost sold out, right?
Hopefully by the end of talking to you, it'll be sold out.
Yeah. So if you're even thinking about it,
done, yeah.
Just click on it and register. What happens in this course? Can you tell us what happens in this course?
We stay inside in the air conditioning in Scottsdale in August.
Good start. Airway air conditioning. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, what we're going to do is we're really going to figure out who the patients are. I'm going to isolate the three main patient groups because my mind kind of works by putting things in boxes. So we're going to talk about kids. We're going to talk about young fit females, which are our TMD patients. We're going to talk about old fat men, which are our erosion and wear patients. And then we're going to go through the top 10 dental problems that you would have on a dental problem list when doing treatment planning. So we'll talk about wear on the teeth, and we'll talk about erosion on the teeth and malocclusions and all the rest, including some wear patterns that you may be unfamiliar with. And we're going to ask the question, could this be an airway issue? So we'll make a list. Okay, they're bruxing. What are some of the possible explanations? And finally, could airway explain it? Mm-hmm. At the end, we're actually going to go over the protocol. So I'm going to show you how to find who Jake is in your world. And then I'll begin to show you how to fix Jake and where they ought to go. Now, obviously, in 2 days, we're not going to do all you know, everything. We're gonna begin to scratch the surface on it, and that's where the workshop comes in. It actually goes the next step and how to implement into your practice and how to find Jake.
That's awesome, buddy. Cool. Well, I know we got to let you go because you're a busy man, and I'm just so grateful for every minute we get with you. We're going to do a lot of these. And I know some people are listening to this on iTunes. Jeff, I want to get a hold of you. How can I get a hold of you?
JRouse@spearEducation.com. JRouseSpearEducation.com.
All right, check it out. So cool. Stay on here for a second while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you're watching this and you found this valuable today, do me one huge favor and hit the share button, because we want this great information to get to all of your friends and share the good word. Keep sending us suggestions and things that you want to see and things that you would love to hear from Dr. Rouse. I'll have him back here a lot and get some really great education and some things that you can use in your practice right away. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great day.